Last week on Lore Seekers. Friends, tonight, lore lesson number 95. We are talking the City of Solitude, which is one of the nine major cities in the province of Skyrim, which we'll be traveling to very, very soon.
Stay clean. Wash your hands.
Stay clean. Who says stay clean to the mailman? It is. This is unprecedented times, actually, right now, for especially for people in the States and a lot of a lot of countries abroad. And here's the bottom line. We didn't want to belabor you guys with a bunch of stuff that you're already getting bombarded with in the news. And like Jibs was saying, we really wanted to create a healthy distraction for you.
From the depths of the darkest caverns to the peaks of the highest mountaintops, join two friends as they explore Tamriel and share their tales one pint at a time. This is the Lore Seekers Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and... Sunday.
That's not the only day you should wash your hands.
Morning.
Every day, multiple times a day to avoid the Manhattan flu. That's your public service announcement, my friends.
Oh, that is good stuff right there. What's up, my man?
What is up, my dude?
What's up, everybody?
Yeah. This has been a day of ESO and not playing the game.
Oh, buddy, there's been a lot of behind the scenes work happening. That's for sure.
It's a content day.
Content day. Yeah.
It's a content week.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's one of those where you log into the game, and when you're in the game, when you're staff and you're in the game, you play a guild leader online for a little bit, and then you like pass out at your keyboard.
That's our fault.
It is our fault.
It's our fault because
we love it though.
And you know what would be fun for a minute?
What?
For a minute.
Tell me.
Just like pick a random person, put a bunch of names of our guildies on on a piece of paper. Or 10 pieces of paper. Just take your finger and just drop it in the middle of it and go, that's the new guild leader. Promote him and say, all you.
Guild leader for a day.
Oh. Guild leader for a day. No, I mean, all kidding aside, I think we've all across the board on all the platforms, we really have gotten lucky because we've chosen the right people to assist us. But I don't think we could have a better experience every single time we log into ESO.
Oh, no. It's fantastic.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It's fantastic. The guildies always even make us feel welcome, which is funny saying that, but you know, it just you log in, "Hey everybody, good evening." And you know, chat just freaking, you have to scroll up because people are, you know, "Hey, good to see you."
Like, I always like saying hi to the peeps. Everybody, it's funny to watch chat, even in it looks like Twitch chat sometimes. Look at guild chat, just people helping people, you know what I mean?
That's the best thing. And we've even got, you know, what was that, was it an email or DM, I forget what it was, but guildy messaged us and said the exact same thing. I logged in needing help. By the time I logged out, I had the help, I got what I needed, and I'm just like,
thank God,
proud dad. That's right.
That's what I think. I thank God.
Good thank to you see you, boys. What can I get you?
Fire. You know, I think I'm gonna
do it.
All right, I'm taking your word for it. I'll take a Fireburn wine, please.
Fireburn.
Heavy
a Fireburn
pour.
Wine.
Yeah.
A Fireburn.
Yeah.
Firebrand.
Is that
wine.
What I say? I said.
Well, you eliminated like the EB and the R in that, but
so
that's okay.
So I eliminated like six letters. Cool. Fireburn.
I'll have a Fireburn wine.
Right.
She's like, sir, you're cut off. I'm so sorry about that. It's time for you.
It's my first wine.
Did you bring something into the bar?
Well, I own the bars. We own the bar, so, you know, I really don't think
Oh, we're at that one. Oh, sorry.
I know.
Have to set the stage for me.
Oh, okay.
Ma'am, I'm going to have a Haunting Brew Mead again. I really dug it last week, and we're going to go that route.
Yeah, we're just going to go right up. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I brought my winter clothes, though. I've been feeling cold lately, you know, so I got my furs on. And I'm
maybe it's because it's snowy outside.
It is snowy, yeah. It's that time of year. It's what you get when you hang out in East March. So,
yeah. Ah, dude.
Yeah. Oh, people are nice, though. I mean, I give them props, except that one guy. I don't know what he was doing. He was streaking down the street the other day, but, you know, this is working. I'm liking this right here.
Hey, sometimes there needs to be something to break up the day. And a naked dude running through the cobblestone streets will do that.
That's a head turner right there.
You could tell he was cold, though.
I mean,
poor dude. Ooh, you better go warm up.
This really escalated quickly. This really got.
And don't run through the red light district because they will laugh. Trust me.
Oh yeah, no, there's shame that follows. There's shame. For shame. All right, so tell me about your week, my friend. I know.
Oh my god.
I know where you're going, but they don't. So tell me. Talk to me.
This is where stuff gets serious, I guess. We already did our public service announcement, so I'm not going to tell you to stay indoors and wash your hands. But damn it, people, stay in your house and wash your damn hands and don't touch your damn face. I have literally... Okay, serious mode. I went back to work this week. I was off for a good week and a half before, and that's when the COVID virus stuff really started to escalate. Was while I was home. So, I mean, at least thank God I was at home because I had a good amount of time to get stuff ready for my family. And, you know, when I'm at work, I'm at work. Like, I'm not home for a few days. So my girls are freaking tougher than hell. So I just need to make sure that everything was dialed in for them for when I went back. And it's not like one of those times that you can just call in. Yeah, I'm not going to go in today. I'm going to call in sick. Yeah, it doesn't work that way right now.
Right.
So, yeah, so I stared COVID in the face this week and it was not fun. Like there's been several times in my career that I have felt a little nervous. You know, your heart rate goes up when you go on certain calls and, calls for service, you know, whether it's fire, rescue, whatever it is. Where it raises the hair on the back of your neck. I wasn't going to say the back of my head because it would have prompted a lot of jokes. But you go on those certain calls that it, you know, everything, you're on point. Like everything, all your cylinders are firing. Like, okay. So I went on my first COVID call this week, confirmed COVID case, and all those hairs were standing up. And it was like, okay, this thing is freaking real.
Yeah.
So, it was not fun, my friends. It was not fun. We've had, quite a few cases where I work and, we're probably luckier than others and busier than others when it comes to what's going on with the virus out there. But the bottom line is this, at least in my area, people are not obeying what they're supposed to be obeying. And the same thing's going on in New York where there are people everywhere and there's a lockdown, not necessarily lockdown, bad choice of words. There's a stay-at-home order, and people aren't doing it, and the virus is spreading. It's like, friends, you got to just do what you're told and just stay home, protect your families, and get what you need. If you got to go out and get stuff, get what you need, protect yourself, get home, and stay there. Mm-hmm. And people aren't doing it. So being from somebody that's seeing it on the front lines, it is scary. It is not a governmental hoax. It is real AF. So please protect yourself. And that is the bottom line. So just having that exposure at work, even though we're fully protected and, you know, thank God my department is way ahead of the curve on equipment. So we're very protected. But I have chosen to self-isolate at home just in case I did contract something. I mean, in that period of time where you're contagious and you don't have any symptoms, because that time does exist. So I'm staying away from my girls and social distancing at home, just on my own, which is not terrible. I love them. But oh my God, I'm getting so much done in this chair. Playing ESO is really a lot of fun.
Oh.
So there's that. Anyway, off the soapbox. Please be safe.
I want to say something, and I don't know. I wouldn't normally do this, but I have witnessed you stop an entire conversation going on in real life, being together, more than once, just to say thank you to somebody who was on the front lines dealing with whatever it was, you know, safety response, first responders, military, etc. But I've never heard anybody really thank you. So I just want to say thank you for what you do. You are by far the most selfless man I've ever met in my life. And you continue week in, week out to be the most thoughtful person who puts everyone else above them, above yourself. So thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. And I don't hear that often, and I don't feel that I need that, but man, that's really nice to hear, to be honest with you.
Well, no, I appreciate you.
No, I do. I really do appreciate that. And it's funny because when you're in my line of work, you don't think about that. You honestly don't think about that kind of stuff, nor do you need that
look
feedback.
For it.
But when you get it, it's really kind of nice. It kind of reminds you that, like, hey, you picked a pretty cool job.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, to me, that's just, it's become just who I am. Even since when I was a kid, it was a really cool job. Like, this is what I want to do. It's just, it's kick ass. It's high speed. Let's, you know, let's go do this. Yar, yar, type A personality. Rawr, rawr.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes what you do. So it's like, okay.
Right.
Well, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
Well, you have such a dangerous job. Well, yeah, I guess I kind of do, but I really love what I do, and
well,
it's worth it to me to, you know, go to work day in and day out,
yeah,
and take care of people in their time of need. Just,
yeah,
I love doing it. So thanks, yeah, for saying that.
Yeah, no problem. My week's been very similar. So we both work in the medical field. It's kind of crazy because I feel like this also mimics our personalities, you know. It's, you know, what I'm not, you are, and vice versa. And so, you know, you work in the safety, you know, first responders, whereas my side is more the business side of it and more of the whole company side of it, with home health and all kinds of things. And it, like, I'm not on the front lines like you are, but everything is definitely lockdown for me personally, like as far as where I would normally be going, visiting, doing. And as a result, man, I tell you what, I'm not trying to compare this at all to you, let me be clear, but I'm just like, the emails have went through the freaking roof. Like, it's no less than 100 emails a day. Like, it's just,
yeah,
ridiculous. And the things are constantly changing, you know. And so this right here to me, and then I'm done off my serious side, is like one of the most important parts of my week. Right here.
Yeah, debrief.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like a download. And
yeah,
and I don't want to overshadow what you do either, because what you do is a continuation of what I do. We just handle the emergent stuff. You're handling the long-term stuff, man. And that can be brutally difficult. Dealing with families and stuff during that stressful time of their life when, you know, their loved ones are sick, and, you know, the right care is important. That right long-term care is important.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate
that. So thank you.
Well, thank you
for doing what you do. Boy, we are really stroking each other's
manes. No, thank you. All right. Well, seriously, though, I appreciate you. Everybody, thank you so much. Welcome. This is the Lore Seekers Podcast. If this is your first time ever hanging out with us, welcome, friends. This is volume 6, number 15. And if you're looking for good old Elder Scrolls Online podcasts, there's plenty of them out here, and you're one of them right now. So if you were not here last week on the show, we talked mailbag. We talked, which is your emails, voicemails, all that stuff. New Crown Crate season, Dungeon Lore on Crypt of Hearts. It's one of our segments here. You're going to love it when we bring it back. And we did a lore lesson on Solitude, which, for the freaking lore, man, because It's just the anti. Yeah. It's we're climbing the hill. We're climbing the hype hill right now, and it's just continuing tonight. Today
it is. It's quite hypey.
It is quite hypey.
It's quite hypey, and we are very excited for what is to come because right now, at least, we have a lot of time. I don't know if you have any time on your hands right now, but we have a lot of time to be paying attention to what's coming to Elder Scrolls Online very soon.
Yeah,
and it's good times. It's coming quicker than we think.
Oh,
you know what's going to happen, bro, is that we're going to be overshadowed by this whole virus / possible end of the world type of thing. Whoops, did I say that? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, people. Just wash your damn hands and don't touch your damn face, and we'll be fine. No, all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, we can't even really say the U.S. at all. I mean, this is happening globally. Everything that is going on is going to overshadow the fact that days and weeks are going to tick by, and before we know it, we're going to come out of this on the other side, that shiny end of the tunnel, and be like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Greymoor is launching in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. May 18th, man.
Yeah.
Coming May quick. 18th. And I'm just, there's so many things I'm looking forward to when it comes to Greymoor. We're only 54 days out. 54 days as of this recording.
God, I hope I'm not quarantined for 54 days.
I'll tell you one thing, come hell or high water, guess who's PTOing that day if I'm not home? If we're not still at home, this guy.
Yeah, I'll be home all week. I'm home all week.
Home all week. But anyway, this week on the show, we're answering more of your mail. You continue to bring it in, so we bring it here on the show. We're also talking Jester's Fest PTS discussion. This has been a big one going around the bend here on light / heavy attack potential changes. Potential, underline, italicized and bold. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is not
Don't
set
freak
in stone
out yet.
Just
yes.
Relax, take it easy. And then we got a lore lesson on
the mother of Nords.
Dun dun dun.
Talking it's kind tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. It's gonna be good. But anyway, oh, right on time. Hey,
I've been looking for you. Got something I'm supposed to deliver. Your hands only.
Wash them.
Wash what? Cover your mouth. All right.
He did. He had a mask on.
Oh, I didn't see. I saw a hood. I didn't know what he was wearing.
There was a mask under that.
Oh, all right. Well,
it's so dark.
It's so dark. So
it's so dark.
So dark. Is this the DC universe? All right. Anyway, so it's that time. We answer your mail. We bring it here. And we talk about it. All right. You can always call us, by the way, 765-382-6961. You can always email us as well, loreseekerspodcast@gmail.com. All right, so first one up today. Now, this one has been edited for length, but I believe this person is in chat. So first off, Heavy Metal Head 13, not only are you on staff with us, but also we appreciate you for all that you do for us, and you're here.
Yes, we do. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so by the way, we are streaming live, friends, at twitch.tv/loreseekerspodcast. You can come watch the live show and have some fun. So there's that. So Heavy asks, the discussion I saw on Reddit in the forums was about the fact that that every Crown Crate season, we mostly just get reskinned mounts or styles, which is fine, but also getting pretty boring and stale. It doesn't motivate me to spend more than I already do on my sub. But what if Zoss were to introduce skins for pets? Wardens and Sorks being able to reskin their pets would be a breath of fresh air for anyone sick of seeing their bears and Twilights, which is everyone. Or how about combat animations? Unlock different fighting styles based on race or class. The way a DK swings a two-handed sword could be more raw power strikes, where a Nightblade would be more flowing swings. I think this would be a great way to inject some excitement back into crates, but also make the game feel more alive and vibrant. I'm not a dev by any means, but I can't imagine this being an overly difficult thing to add to the game. Especially with the wave of new and returning players, it could be more to keep everyone invested in this game. So, what are your thoughts on this, Cash?
I am maybe in the minority, but I'm not tired of the Crown Crates. I'm certainly not sick of my bear. think my, because I play the Warden class, I love my bear. So I'm not tired of it. I continue to buy crates. I love the game in tons and tons of ways. So it's not really hard for me to continue my sub. That being said, we haven't said that in a while, so that being said,
bringing it back.
Would new things interest me? Hell yes. Totally. So if I had the option to make my bear into a tiger, there's a freaking tiger in the bathroom. if I had the opportunity to do that, to reskin and get different pets, I would absolutely love that. Now, if we're going to talk reskinning my pet, I would rather just take it the full length and say, I would love some type of a trapping or taming ability. My class to be able to go pick certain things in the world that I would like to have. And I don't want to mention that other game, but World of Warcraft had that, and that was pretty freaking awesome for the hunter class.
That was always a fun aspect. Yeah, I do remember that.
Right. Now, how that could be integrated into crown crates, I don't want to get off topic too much, but I don't know how that could be integrated in. But there are some other things here that I could totally see. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm all for this. I'm all for new things. Combat animations would be awesome. I don't know how hard that would be based on class. Maybe like a finisher, something like that. If you had some way that it would automatically, you know, trigger a killing blow, would be something totally different, like a decap.
Ooh, For Honor style. All right.
I doubt that would happen. I mean, I know this is a dark game, but I
doubt...
We're
going full mature now with ESRB.
I doubt they're going to go, you know, as deep as something like a decapitation, but it would be so awesome. I mean, I'm totally open to anything new coming into the Crown Star.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, I'm... As far as the Gloomspore crates and... And I'm just using those example because they're here with us right now. I like them. I like all the mounts. I think they're unique. It took me a while to get used to the look of the ones we were, you know, talking about last week. But I love what's in there. I love the way it's done. I'm not saying so much I would like to see it done differently, but continue to build on it. I think that is, you know, and I think that goes for really for any game that you play. As a developer, they're always wanting to... They're always looking at things, how they can they make it better. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but you know, so I would just like to see them continue to venture and push the envelope in that regard, to seeing what they can add. Would I love a new bear? Absolutely. Would I love to see new and inventive things? You know, just something as simple as clipping having a backpack or a cloak or a, you know, or a lantern on your belt.
I bet you folks don't have one of these.
I want that.
That's a new one. I like it.
I want that.
I want that.
You said cloaks.
I would love that. But, you know, it's... So, yeah, I think... I do like the way things are done for the most part, aside from the gem mounts. I will say that can be difficult. But at the same token, it goes without saying, you know, you don't have to buy it if you don't like it, obviously. But also, I look forward to seeing how they push the envelope this year. Because last year they did add some new things, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this year.
Yes. And I can see... If there's somebody that doesn't have, like, the deep love for the game that I think you and I have, and it's not just because of the game and lore of Elder Scrolls and the history that we have with Elder Scrolls and the community and all the things we love about this whole experience. If there's somebody new coming into the game that's just learning it, or, you know, maybe he's been here 3-4 months and is looking for the next thing to keep their sub up, and they haven't truly bought into to everything yet. I could see.
Yeah,
I could see why they're seeing it's some of the same things over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, there's definitely some times where I do start to feel fatigue there, and I remind myself this, and I'm not saying that Heavy feels this way. I'm saying me personally. If I do feel that way, I remind myself, I don't have to buy any of that. What I'm buying is the content in the game. You know what I mean? And right. it just brings my head right back around.
Agreed.
So, anyway, good email. Thanks, Heavy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a great email. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to let you take this next one because I'm pretty confident I would butcher this like a million ways to Sunday. So.
Oh, my God. You're so simple. Okay, no problem. This one is from Giuseppe the Onion Farmer. He says, hey, Cash and Jibs, it would be a massive understatement to say that you're both looking forward to the upcoming Grey Moor chapter. You are correct, sir. My question relates to the upcoming trial Kynes Aegis. Based on the limited information we know, the trial involves some kind of invasion and the Augur of the Obscure. Who or what do you believe could be behind this invasion? Something like an army from Akavir, more vampires, or something new? And what would be some unique trial mechanics to go along with it? Kind regards, Giuseppe, the onion farmer, the largest exporter of onion milk in all of Vardenfell.
That is one heck of a title.
Yes, I love that name too. Well, why don't you start with this one?
Well, I'll be honest, they haven't really talked too much about the new trial outside of what we already know that they've publicly stated. Wow, this is kind of a loaded question. What do I think could be behind this invasion? At this point, everything is so up in the air with the way that they've led into this chapter, which I think has been fantastically done. They have captured mystery, the art of mystery, with Greymoor, to me, with Harrowstorm, two dungeons, right. You know. So with considering how those ended, how that playthrough, you know, came about when everything was all said and done, I don't have an answer. I don't know. Because I feel like those two dungeons did not align, you know, did not bring you to one singular conclusion.
No.
They were like two different, they were just like two different parts of a puzzle, you know? Like one, you know, top left corner that, you know, had that nice rounded edge. You know where it's going, kind of, you think. And then you got one somewhere down the middle right, and you're like, all right, maybe this is going to fit somewhere. I don't, you know, like I don't know what it's going to be yet. So and I don't know.
I kind of like that. And there's a lot of things that I really don't want to know. And like, I know, you know, having a show and creating content, we have to cover the stuff. But some of the stuff we like to keep secretive. So if we miss something with new content coming out, it's most likely because Jibs and I don't want to spoil it for ourselves. We're a little bit selfish in that regard, I guess. But we love the lore, and that kind of lends to something that I'd like to mention about Rich. And Rich Lambert, the creative director of the game, or the game director, he was kind enough when we went to Vegas to like try and keep some of the stuff to himself. And he actually asked me like, hey, are you, I know you don't really like spoilers. Are you okay? Like knowing a little bit more. And I was like, oh yeah, like let's do it. But I guess we've kind of gotten that reputation for not wanting to know too much.
Yeah.
That being said,
two for two.
I would think it's probably something along the lines of the major threat or threats that are happening to Skyrim at the time of this launch. So we know that there are the forces in question. There's witches, there's vampires, and we've also heard talk of werewolves and other supernatural type of things that are being tickled right now from something sinister.
Right.
So I would think it would be something along the lines of that. We don't necessarily know exactly what it is, but we do know in the two dungeons, so far it's been witches and ancient Nordy vampire type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it still leaves room or some of the other supernatural stuff that could be happening out there. Werewolves? I don't know. We did a whole dungeon DLC on werewolves. So are they going to tackle that? I don't know. What I would like to see is something along those same lines that ties into the greater threat that's going on in Skyrim at the time.
Yeah.
Just super chaos, dark, gnarly, scary stuff. What exactly it is, I don't know. But the auger is also a part of it. If you guys haven't experienced the Augur of the Obscure yet, you'll be introduced to him in the Sidgwick quest line. And that is, coincidentally, fun fact, was written like entirely by Leman Tuttle.
Yeah.
And everybody loves that. And on our episode where we had the Lore Master on, Jibs and I did not know that he wrote all of the Augur of the Obscure stuff, because that is like one of the most beloved characters in the entire game. We flipped out. So do I want more of that? Hell yes, I want more of the Augur, especially if he wrote it.
Absolutely.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a vague answer, but
I know it's, well, we don't know yet. You know, there's just things, there's a whole lot of unknowns. And, you know, kind of go off what you said. Yeah, we definitely save things for ourselves too. We don't play the PTS leading into new chapters. We don't touch it. We don't really talk about it too much, aside from what we're talking about today later in the show. But, you know, we want to keep that excitement as well, especially so we can really deliver that to you the following week, you know, after release. And so, yeah, I don't know. What new trial mechanics? I tell you what, you know, we've seen a lot of cool things when it comes to just coming out of those new dungeons. And I'm going to go back to Harrowstorm again. I think Unhallowed Grave, as far as atmosphere and landscape, is the most unique dungeon in this entire game.
And mechanic,
yeah.
There are some...
Good call.
Like, they nailed the mechanics in that.
Oh.
And it's funny to now rewatch the video that Finn was in from the Vegas reveal.
Yeah.
Having played through Ice Reach in Unhallowed Grave.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could see the excitement in his face. It's like, he's just like, they're going to love it. And you go through it,
yeah.
And oh my gosh, like, I'm sorry, but using your grappling hook to like do a double jump from one spot to another, or being able to use grappling posts in the middle of a boss fight and have it, number one, you have to do it or you die,
right?
Which is rad. And number two, being able to do it to manipulate parts of the fight. Dude.
Yeah.
So much fun. That, and we know we've talked about, but that is hands down my favorite dungeon now, because it never gets old going through it and doing that freaking, you know, up to the side of the rock and then back down. And like, if you miss it, you're effed.
Yeah.
You're going to die. So
GG, you're done. Yeah.
So much fun. So yeah. Like, what new mechanics? We could either go with more of that or something similar to where you have to manipulate the environment.
Yeah.
Please, more of that. Like, it is so much fun. I like boss fights that are engaging, that you can't just DPS something down just because you have a stellar group, but actual mechanics that you have to go through in order to get to the next stage. That's what I like. I don't like cheesing stuff too much. Don't get me wrong. We'll cheese stuff sometimes if we're trying to get through something really quickly. But I like to experience the trials for what they should be. Mechanics, your skill, your build, and, you know, the amount of prowess that your groups have, and everybody doing their job. That's what I like.
Yeah, and, you know, really, if, you know, to kind of finish this off, if the last two chapters have been any indicator, I feel like, especially since, and, you know, I'm partial to this because that's really our first chapter was Somerset for this show, you know, so that's the basis for me. I feel like since Somerset, they've really continued to up the ante with every trial. They've been increasingly unique, and so... And really, if you look at the trial between Somerset and elsewhere, they're very different. You know, there really isn't a whole lot that carries over too much. So I'm feeling like we're going to see things we haven't seen yet, just basing it off of Somerset and elsewhere.
Do you think that Finn wakes up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and just like sits up and says, sliding cubes, grappling hooks. We're doing it. What are you doing, honey? Shut up. I got to write this down. Goes into the office at like 5 a.m. that next day. Rich. Sit down, buddy. I got a great freaking idea. I'm pretty sure that's the way it goes.
You think so? Me.
I don't know.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for your emails. And again, you can always contact us, loreseekerspodcast@gmail.com. And don't be afraid. All you got to do is talk in a voicemail. Don't be afraid. 765-382-6961. We want to hear your bright, shining voice right here on the show. Try to keep your voicemails around a minute or less, and we'll look at playing here right on the podcast. So anyway, there is that.
All right.
How's the little guy doing?
Doing great.
Good. Is he surviving being home?
Yeah, we are surviving.
What?
We're surviving.
You're...
Survive!
I'm a...
Again? Oh, wait.
Uno mas.
Which
uno mas.
Me? I know who I am. Laying a dude disguised as another dude.
Dude, you led me right to it. You opened the door, saw the shot. There was no danger, so I took it.
You continue to impress.
Just one more time.
Survive.
I love when he says it and his lips twitching and spits flying everywhere.
I love it how he says survive. And he's getting what's his name? He's getting shot in the chest like 40 times.
Ben Stiller, like from Platoon?
Survive. Oh god, it just never gets old.
It does not. Oh
yeah.
Gosh,
I did that for you today, buddy.
I love you for that. That's awesome.
Love you.
Well played, Fred. You did good.
Oh, thank you.
All right, friends. Well, before we get started, if you want to get some for free, we haven't done one of these for a while. If you want to get some for free on Cash and I, here's how. And when you're done with the show and you're like, oh man, I don't know what to do. You've caught up on all the episodes from all the shows you like to listen to. Well, head on over to audibletrial.com/loreseekers. You sign up for the free 30-day free trial from Audible, and you get one free audiobook and two Audible originals on us, on the show. No strings attached. You can keep your service going or cancel it. Either way, you keep your stuff all yours. I've done it before many moons ago when I listened to other shows, and I tell you, it's really, really easy. audibletrial.com/loreseekers. All right, so it's time for news. It's time for news. Dun, dun, dun. So there's quite a few things going around the bin.
Mm-hmm.
And first one on the dock here today came in late last week after the show, so we're like, well, we got to bring it in this week. And it starts tomorrow. Yeah, earn ridiculous rewards during the Jester's Festival event. This coming to us from ElderScrollsOnline.com. Now, starting Thursday, March 26th at 10 a.m., the Jester's Fest is back.
Yes, which also means my favorite orc is back.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even care if it's weird. She's so freaking hot. She is. She's got a smoker's voice.
Is it like, you know, she's definitely not full on Argonian voice.
No.
She definitely doesn't have
like
that kind
of
nasal
voice. That's like a It sounds like a didgeridoo, man. And one of those, yeah, stoma microphones.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's weird at all. I have a thing for Newsy.
That's fine. That's
so I totally get it.
That's fine. I got to thank for that big old orc. I'm sorry.
Between
her and
you.
Laris. Oh my
she'll
god,
break
I'm
you
such
half.
A nerd. Such a nerd.
It's okay, I forgive you. It's all right. 10 steps to improvement. Isn't that a thing? I don't know. Anyway, March 26th starts at 10 a.m. EST, goes through April 2nd at 10 a.m. EST. During the event, you can earn all kinds of special event rewards by completing Jester's Festival quests. Now, I know that there's a lot of people listening right now that this is your first Jester's Festival. 2 years ago, I had that same feeling with you live on the show. So we're going to walk you through this as far as how to start, what you can get, and all the good little tidbits along that goes along with it. So, to get started, find the Jester's Festival pavilions located outside the cities, the major cities like Ebonheart, Vocal Guard, and Daggerfall. If you're having trouble, pick up the Jester's Festival starter quest for free in the in-game crown store. That's been a lifesaver for me for a lot of things that I couldn't remember for the life of me where to locate it. So yeah, in-game crown store, it's a free quest, pick it up, it'll help you. You're going to go to, you're going to talk to some jesters, and one of these is Cash's favorite. You got the jester version of the Scald King, Queen Irene.
Yummy.
That's the orc. Or High King Emmerich, which, Zoss is saying, quote, "We're reliably informed that the real Alliance leaders don't mind the ruse," end quote.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think they like it.
I don't know they like it. But anyway, complete the intro quest. You'll receive a Pie of Misrule memento. Now, here's the fun part, especially for all of you who are running alts right now. Because when you eat this pastry, when you activate it, all right, you will receive a 2-hour, 100% XP buff. Now, you don't have to complete this quest ever again. If you've done so already, just grab your memento out and use it, all right? You can also, and I believe it stacks.
It does.
It's not in the article, but yeah. So if you are running already 100% XP boost or 150, guess what? Now it's 250. So it just stacks on top of each other.
Yeah. Let me give you guys a little hint. If you got a new character that you're rolling, get yourself a training set. Every single piece is training, right? And they're all worth different percentages. Then you put yourself on some XP food. What's the name of that food?
Uh-huh.
You remember the name of that food?
No.
Yeah, the lore hounds in the chat will tell us. Okay. Put on the XP food. And you have the Pie of Misrule. And you have a XP scroll on.
Mm-hmm.
Your XP bonus is going to get fat.
Yeah.
Sigic Ambrosia. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
KZ Crunk. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Pretty sure all that stuff stacks. And I'm pretty sure you'll get from 0 to 50 after Spindle Clutch 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It'll take a little more than that, but it goes
doesn't
really
take a whole lot.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing your dailies. Just do your daily dungeon, do your daily battleground, and then just start crushing dungeons or battlegrounds or whatever, you know, whatever tickles you. And you're going to get there pretty darn quick. So, there's that.
Yeah, it's a good time for alt leveling. I'm in this weird place where I'm totally content. Like, I don't want to level another tune. So I'm like, what am I going to do with this 100% XP buff? But man, I'm glad it's available.
Yeah, it's totally available. And,
you know,
I just leveled another character, so I really don't think I want to, but I might level my my Healy Warden.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you might as well. I mean, you're already going through content. I don't really have to work on my CP, even though it'll be nice to have like 3,000 CP or something eventually, but.
Right.
And you don't really need it because you don't use it. All it does is, you know what it does when you have CP over 810? It just means that you have to know this game better than everybody else in your damn group who's not CP 810. You know what I mean? So like, it gives you no room to F up.
No,
so like, if I
want
to talk on the phone and do mediocre DPS going through a dungeon, like people can be like, bruh, you're 810, you suck.
Yeah, and then you get graded like, that much harsher, especially when you're a content creator. Man, I was in a group with Cash the other day. That Joker has the worst DPS, and he's like over 1,000 CP.
Said nobody ever. Jeez.
Oh, man.
No, it's funny. It's funny that you say that, because I've been doing like a lot more vet content lately.
Yeah.
There is such a major difference between to hitting a dummy. You can sit there and hump that dummy and your DPS can be like, this is legit. Like, I can totally play this game. And then you get into content where shit's hitting you back and there's red on the ground, and watch your DPS absolutely plummet, like cut in half. So where were we the other night? It was our progression trials run.
Mm-hmm.
I must have died 1,000 times in this stupid hard mode fight at the end. Like, I seriously contemplated just hanging it up. Like, why is there a nail on the wall with your mouse on it? Because I suck at Elder Scrolls Online, and I don't ever want to play that stupid game again. I was there for a minute. Like, oh. I legitimately, minus the rage, I legitimately rage quit that night and just, I'm done. We got through it, and I hung it up, and I suck at this game. And then you get back and you run some other content and like you feel good about it and you actively work on it. But man, there is so much skill in this game. And I think that's why I like this game so much. You can't have an off day and not suck. You know what I mean? Like, it's unforgiving if you're not paying attention, watching where your damn feet are, have the right skills on your bar, and activating those skills at the right times. There's so much more to the game than just putting skills on a bar and having levels and the right gear.
You know, I will say this. I believe you and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago at this point. We were talking about, you know, when you're parsing a dummy and the things that you've purposely put on just when you're parsing a dummy as you're standing still, right? To me, that is a very inaccurate representation or an inaccurate reading for you, for your character, even for your group, because that's the numbers you're going to give them, right?
Yes. So, I have an answer for it. I'm going to let you finish, but I have an answer for that.
Sure. To me, here's, and granted, I understand why there's certain things that go on a bar because, you know, you got to have, because you don't have the group. You don't have, you know, if you're hitting the trial dummy, you don't have the healer with you. You know, you're not getting that, I forget the name of it.
Belly drain.
Thank you. You know, so yeah, you got to slot that. I understand all that.
Yeah.
But here's what I want. I want a target dummy that moves. Legitimately moves.
And that hits back.
That hits back, that moves, because then you're going to, because footwork in this game is everything.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a tab target MMO. This is action-based combat. It's going to keep you on your toes no matter whether you're a PvE player or PvP player. At the end of the day, it always comes back to combat and how you are moving. So that's right. Kind of what I want as well, because I feel, honestly, I really feel like my footwork would definitely improve. I know I'm going to Maelstrom. I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm about to say.
I'm going to go to Maelstrom to work on that personally, but also I would love to see that from a target dummy.
I would love to see that too. And I do have an answer to what you're saying about hitting a target dummy not being a good representation. So two things here. Say you're hitting either the 3 million HP dummy or the 6 million HP dummy. You're not getting any resources back. You're not getting buffs like you would from a normal player. So it's all you. You know what I mean? Like your own potions, right. Your own skills, what your own stats are going to allow you to return in resources, how often you have to use or don't have to use a heavy attack to return resources. It's all on you. Whereas a trials dummy gives you a certain amount of buffs. They take like a certain amount of buffs and give you a set representation of what you may be receiving, the things you may be receiving from other players in your group.
Right.
So, you know, minor fracture, just all the different stats. I don't even have to go through one or two of them, but you get a bunch. So your DPS, when you're DPSing a trials dummy, is going to be much higher because it's giving you those inherent buffs that you may be getting from other players. The other thing it gives you is resources back. So your sustain is much better, regardless of whether or not you're magic or stamina. What it does do, though, is both of those dummies will give you a representation of what your character, your gear, and your build and your skills are capable of putting out.
Yeah.
So if everybody's measured off of that, then it gives you a good representation of what everybody is capable of doing. Some people are only capable of hitting 40 or 50K DPS on a 21 mil target dummy, the trials dummy. And some can hit 90,000 plus. Those people are cyborgs, but I'm just saying. So at least there is a baseline out there. Now, in my estimation, you take that number and cut it in about half, maybe add a little 10% to that, and that's about what you can do in an actual content environment. Because you're running around dodging. You can't just sit there. There's very few bosses. There they are out there, but there's very few bosses at endgame where you can just stand in one spot and just do your rotation, do your parse. They're out there, but it's more rare. Most of the time you're moving around shucking and jiving and being all shifty so that you don't freaking die. Yeah. Especially in vet content and hard mode content, you get one shot. If you stand in one spot, especially if you're a vampire, you're gonna freaking die.
Oh yeah.
So it's a lot. If you were to ask me, if you were to take any boss in VMA, Veteran Maelstrom, and do a parse off of that boss, that is going to be more of a representation of what your character is capable of doing in content. You know what I mean? So, like, I would love it if they were to say, okay, we want a parse of you killing Slimecraw. That's a pretty good one. You still got to move. You got to get out of the way. You got to do this. Or pick a boss and say that is what a parse is now going to be off of. Because you have to actually move. And I'm not talking with other players. I'm talking soloing that boss. You know what I mean? And if you die, well then F your parse. It didn't work.
Right.
So I think that would give more of a better representation of what you can actually pull in content.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not complaining about it. Wherever the bar is at, I'm willing to do. But there are definitely times where I feel like I suck at this game. You have a bad day. You have a good day. Some days I'm like super excited. I'm texting people about the freaking DPS I pulled on this dummy. Or, you know, my mind's blown because I saw 150,000 DPS pop up on some big mob pull or something. You know, my AoE was 150,000 DPS or something like that. Who cares? Some days you're going to do better than other days. You just got to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I agree. I like your recommendation as well. I like that. Wow. We really went on a little detour.
I have no idea where we're at now.
I have no idea even how we got there. So anyway, back to Jester's Festival. So yeah, there's your infomercial on dummies, target dummies today. But Jester's Fest. So during this event, each jester can provide your characters with unique daily quests, which means you can complete 3 of these quests every 24 hours. So if you've got 14 tunes, whatever the max is, guess what? You've got a lot of dailies that you can do.
How in the hell did we start talking about dummy parses?
I have I literally have no idea. I feel like it's one of those moments where as a dad, you have dad brain and you walk into the kitchen and forget why the heck you walked into the kitchen.
Whiskey. The answer is always whiskey to that one.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely that.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't know.
I don't know either.
But anyway, the more you know. Yeah, I guess so. So there's that. A lot of dailies. All right. So now, of course, there's loot. All right. Each time you complete a Jester's Festival quest, you receive a Jester's Festival reward box that can contain goodies, all kinds of wonderful little goodies, stuff you can vendor. You got consumables, recipes, furnishings, revelry pies. All right. And the first time that you complete each day, one of these dailies, you're rewarded with a stupendous gift box instead of the regular reward, all right? This special box can include, and you've probably seen some of these around town if you haven't already, all right? And the Guild Traders, you got Cadwell's Kitchen Arms Styles Pack, or Pages, I'm sorry, not Pack, whew, Pages. Fragments of two mementos, the festive noisemaker, or Jester's festival joke popper. Jokey steelies to sell to vendors. I love this marketing jargon. Room boxes containing the cherry blossom branch or Jester's skin... scintillator.
You can do it.
Scintillator mementos.
Yay, you!
Mute your mic. New fragments for the Sovereign Sow Pet. And then, which is guaranteed to drop within the first stupendous gift box you open each day. This is now the same porcine princess you save in the Jester's Festival quest. Mm-hmm. A noble guest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps going, too. Quick note, if you've earned all three stupendous gift boxes, don't worry. You can keep earning regular gift boxes with your other characters. All right, so we're going to scroll down a little bit here. So as you cover all of Tamriel, all right, there's some special achievements. Why don't you give those to him?
So the first one you can get is called the Three Fillings War. You're going to have to throw 10 pies at players that are in a different alliance. This one normally takes place in Cyrodiil, I believe. And people are really cool during this time in Cyrodiil to be able to do that. They just kind of, everybody gets in a group and all the factions just throw stuff at each other. At least that's what happened last year. It's kind of cool. The next one is called the Upper Crust. Throw a pie at each of the alliance leaders, which is similar to the Mudball Miscreant one that we had to do in New Life. Then there's an achievement called The More You Can Chew, and that's where you throw 10 pies at guards. Good luck.
Good luck.
There's one called Dessert Domination, which is if you get all the achievements above. Then there's Messy Business. Kill 10 players while they're covered in pie in Cyrodiil. That is another one that people do in Cyro. Because that one, you can imagine, is very difficult to get. So basically what you have to do is you have to take a pie, throw it at a player, and then kill them. So is not easy to do. So if you complete these absurd achievements, you can earn special rewards, including the two titles. The first one called the Tin Soldier and the second one called the Empyroar. The next achievement is the Obnoxious Mute Face Painting Head Marking.
Oh, they named it after you. Obnoxious.
Oh. We were actually doing very good without insults tonight. But... you. Then there's the Crown of Misrule Hat. And then... I was just kidding, by the way. I love you.
I love you too, man.
Okay, good. And then the biggest one that you can get here is the Lady or Lord of Misrule title by completing each of the three daily quests or the Royal Jester title and some furnishings completed by completing every Jester's Festival achievement. So make sure you open your journal because there's a lot to be earned during this event.
Hey, do you have these titles on your warden?
I don't think I have them on my wardy warden.
You know what we got to do then?
Get these titles on our wardy wardens.
We got to get these titles on our wardy wardens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know what you got to do?
Quest accepted. What?
Go to VMA. I want you to stream it. I want you to stream your... Oh, that's what we should do.
You want me to stream a cold run of Maelstrom Arena? I got to start regular. I can't just go right into VMA.
You can start with regular and practice a little bit. And then we go straight into a stream. Here's the kicker, though, bro. We'll go straight into a stream of you doing VMA for the first time, and I will narrate.
You will narrate? What are you going to do, a play-by-play?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you freaking Joe Buck from the MLB now? You don't even know who that is.
Whatever. Whatever. Are you talking about touchdowns and home runs or what?
Bless your heart. Yep. So anyway, you can get a bit...
Al Jibs is at the balcony of Set, and oh my God, he didn't quite make it on that one, but he's going to try again in 10 seconds. 7, 6, 5.
Chat says they would pay money for this. Followed by a bunch of do it.
Oh, do it. Do it, do it. Johnny Redneat, do it, do it. That would be amazing, actually, to watch that. I'll get drunk and narrate.
There you go. That would actually be quite humorous and full of sloshy words. I would kind of be interested in that.
Maybe we should wait till everybody's back to work and the world is normal again.
The world is normal. Yeah.
Well, because there's already like a little bit of air of irritation in everybody right now because we're home so much.
And
around our kids. Oh, 24/7.
Yeah. My eyes twitching right now. I just say that.
I know. Could you imagine like doubling or tripling that amount of frustration when you go to VMA for the first time?
Not that.
We just bought a punching bag. I would literally get up, go in there, throw some punches, come back, sit down, and go. That's how this would go.
You should mount that right behind your camera. Or
and
behind your
the
chair.
Crap out of it.
Or you could just hit that stupid red banner behind you. Oh, suck it. It's a stupid red banner, and you know it.
Event tickets. Guess what? They're back.
Deflection. First sign of weakness.
A little shots fired there, huh?
I'm getting froggy. I'm getting so freaking froggy.
Oh,
it's the Jameson in this coffee.
Oh, I'm gonna hurt this man. Anyway,
I'll sneeze on you.
Vent ticks. Don't be.
Did you imagine sneezing on somebody right now? You're not even sick. You just sneeze on them. Just watch them melt.
You breathe in dust. Oh man. That'd be the worst joke ever.
I would never do that.
I would do it to you in a heartbeat. No questions asked. No question.
So mean.
I'd cough right in your face.
You know what I would do?
Oh, I wouldn't. What would you do?
You know exactly what I would do if you said that.
What?
I would scream one thing.
All right, right on. So anyway, event tickets, yeah, again, they're back. And so every time you complete a Jester's Festival quest each day, you'll earn 3 event tickets per account. All right, you can earn up to 24 tickets throughout this event. And the Impresario is back, and she is... Oh, the Endrics are back, too. All 4 Endric feathers she's stocking. All 4 Spectral Endric berries. The Spectral Endric pet. The Sovereign So fragments, Jester's Scintillator room box, Cherry Blossom Branch room box, and new group repair kits. This allows you to repair worn gear for group members in your zone.
Ooh, I did not know this.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is literally first time I'm seeing that. That is freaking awesome.
Well, you know, there's a difference between when you prepare for a show and when you just kind of show up. And,
that's cool. I like it.
I'm just kidding. Friends, Cash was working on something great today, and I'm ribbing him because I know he had hardly any time to play because he was working on some really cool content. So
I had no time to play. I went right into VMA afterwards, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But.
I know. Well, it's all right. It wakes you up, that's for sure.
Did.
At least it's what I'm told. I've yet to run VMA, but
tonight
I'm working up to it. Tonight? Oh my gosh.
That's your freaking assignment. I want you to
run
it on normal
assignment.
Tonight. Normal.
You want me to run it on normal tonight?
Normal.
Do you want me to stream this?
What?
You want me to stream this?
Well, yeah. You don't have to, but run it on normal and then your first VMA run.
Yeah.
You just do Maelstrom on normal. Your first VMA run. We'll stream it.
Okay.
Oh, damn. That's brave.
So anyway, Jester's Festival, it's going to be here as you're listening on release day. It's here. It's out. Go have fun. Have a good time. And we hope you get all of your goodies. So next up, we got a community spotlight. We're going to mention this one. I have a lot of respect for this illustrator or this artist.
Oh.
This is Craig's Cartoon Adventures. And Craig makes these wonderful comics. He's newer to ESO, and they did this whole spotlight on him. And I absolutely love his art style. And I think it is so incredibly fitting for this game as a whole. Like, I want to see more of this. I want to see official things with, you know, partnered up and do things.
Oh, yeah.
If you have not seen his artwork, go look at it over at ElderScrollsOnline.com. This community spotlight's fantastic.
You know what they need to do? Like, honestly, this is how good this gentleman is. I think there should be an official Elder Scrolls Online comic, and this guy should do it.
I agree 100%.
It's 100%. Incredible, you guys. Go check this. The link is going to be in our show notes, and the link is also obviously at theelderscrollsonline.com. Please check it out. His stuff is so good, and it's freaking funny. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's really lighthearted, and which is so fitting for this game, because this game definitely has a lot of serious tones. Granted, there's comedy, etc., but, you know, it's so just fitting. It fits perfectly.
I'm like, so I wanna glad.
I want to see more.
I'm so glad that they featured him.
Oh, absolutely.
This stuff is really good, you guys.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So anyway, go check this out. Community Spotlight, Craig's Cartoon Adventures. It is really, 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 really good. Then finally today, we got the PTS discussion. Now, this is a little bit interesting. I don't know. How do you feel we should cover this for them? Should we give them the intro, just the introduction to it, and then just kind of formulate?
Yes, because I don't want to scare anybody yet. So there's a couple things that I want to read here in regards to potential changes. These are just like the beginning. We're not going to go over the entire PTS notes. If you want a really good way to go over all the PTS notes, there's a new video that's out on YouTube by The Asian God. It's fantastic. Because he's very like right down the middle type of a guy, but he is an extremely skilled endgame player. He details all of the patch notes, and he's, like I said, he's just very calm across the board talking about all these things. The Asian God, look him up on YouTube and go watch his video. It's really good. What Jibs and I are going to do is we're just going to touch on one part of these notes, and it's the biggest part of the notes. It's what's been all over ESO news, ESO player news over the past few days. And this is the changes that potentially could come from or come to light attacks, heavy attacks, and medium attacks. There's some pretty drastic changes, which we'll get into what it could change here pretty quick. But before I start with that at all, directly from what Gina wrote in these patch notes, it says this: we realize these are big changes and we're excited to have this off-cycle test where you can provide some very focused feedback. Right now it's on PTS. This is in bold. We'd like to emphasize the possibility of these changes never actually going into the game. We are simply testing and gathering feedback right now. So don't flip out. They're just testing this stuff. So here are the changes that are proposed. Jibs, I'm just going to go through this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Light attacks on PTS. Light attacks now restore resources, and resource restore has been removed from heavy attacks. Pausing for effect. I shall continue. The way light attacks work are now that successive light attacks grant a stacking resource buff up to 3 consecutive attacks, maxing out the benefit of restoring your resources. Now, this is the interesting part. It says without weaving abilities. So normally, in a normal endgame type rotation, it doesn't even have to be endgame, but in a normal rotation to maximize your DPS if you play a DPS character, and actually, I'm pretty sure healers do this as well to gain resources back, and maybe even tanks. You would normally do skill, light attack, skill, light attack, skill, light attack, and that is known as light attack weaving. You're just putting a light attack in between each one of your skills. And a lot of times for DPS players, when you look at the results of hitting that dummy at the end, light attacks is normally the first, second, or third source of major damage that you did to that enemy or dummy, whatever you're hitting. So it's light attacks hit hard, and they're removing that. So what they're saying is that in order to get the most resources back, since they took resource regeneration away from heavy or away from heavy attacks, they're now in light attack. So they're saying if you do something like skill, light attack, light attack, light attack, it's gonna stack three times and you're going to be able to max out the benefit of returning your resources now with light attacks. Now, to further that, it says light attack damage is reduced and heavy attack damage, on the other hand, is exponentially increased. So it says non-fully charged heavy attacks, also known as medium attacks, now have a scaling amount of damage based on how long you hold the attack. If you hold it all the way up to a heavy and just shy of a full heavy attack you release, then it's going to give you a large amount of damage, but still not enough as if you were to hold down your button through the entire duration to complete a heavy attack. That's when you're going to get the most amount of damage. So all types of all types of attacks now interact with off balance. For instance, light attacking an off balance target results in more resource return. Medium attacking an off balance target results in more damage, whereas heavy attacking an off balance target results in even more damage and stuns the target. So, here's what they're thinking. We believe these changes will broaden the usage of light, medium, and heavy attacks for all players. In this new dynamic, heavy attack builds will be more viable, giving low APM players opportunities to compete in both PvE and PvP. High APM play is still rewarded as the absolute highest DPS and requires a mix of both light and heavy attacks, interacting with off balance as optimally as possible. Now, what's APM? APM stands for actions per minute. So players that have higher actions per minute have been able to significantly outperform those with lower actions per minute, as they have better uptime of abilities, higher mitigation, much higher DPS, and can simply move around the battlefield much better in both PvE and PvP. This is what they're trying to balance. So, Jibs, just off the top of your head, major changes to light, medium, and heavy attacks. What is that going to, what is it going to mean to you?
First off, I'm for it. Let me be clear. Because I don't see this to me is not a game breaking thing. I'm seeing these YouTube videos come out and in the thumbnail saying what the F, Zoss. I'm just like, all right, well, I know where you're going. And I'm people freaking out. Let me be clear. This isn't breaking the game. You know what breaking the game is? Let's rewind the clocks back years. Let's go before ESO. Let's talk Star Wars Galaxies for a hot minute. When they put an update in to where you no longer had to spend months earning your way to be a Jedi.
I loved it.
And they made it to where you could just start right off the bat.
I loved it so bad.
That not only wrecked the game, it wrecked the community. Guess what? Breaking change. That's what that was. This here, this is not. This is changing a dynamic of content, which is ultimately, to me, at just first glance, I have not tried this on PTS, but first glance, to me, what this means is these fights are going to last a little bit longer. I think damage is going to decrease again. I don't know about percentages. I'm not a percentage guy. But just to me personally, I think you're probably going to see duration of fights maybe a little bit go a little bit longer. It does concern me when it comes to certain skills. So the Sigic Order skill line, you know, help me out here. Imbue weapon, is that, I'm drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Imbue.
You know, yeah, it makes me wonder. I know they're going to be changing sets around with this, if this does go through. It makes me wonder, are skills going to be changed as well? But to be honest with you, I do not consider this game breaking. I do not consider this something that's like, oh my gosh, you're ruining the game. So now you're going to reward players who aren't as skilled. That's what I'm seeing. And that's what's driving me nuts, because what I'm seeing a lot from the community, and let me rephrase that, from people in the community, not a lot, because I don't go out looking for this stuff, but I'm seeing it on YouTube. I'm seeing it on Twitter. And you're sure as heck going to see it when it comes to Reddit. They had to put out a positivity post. I was glancing through my phone the other day briefly for Reddit for whatever reason. I think I hit a link and it brought me there.
Wait, Reddit put out a positivity post?
They made one specifically just to just in regard to this. Because
you might have been having
a
stroke because that normally doesn't happen.
I don't know, but look, to me, I'm all for when it comes to MMOs, when it comes to change. When it's good changes, when it's not game-breaking changes, when it's not start with a Jedi change. That's why I'm going to refer to that from now on. All right?
Yes.
So,
well, I'm so proud of you for that reference.
Will it? Well, thank you. Will it be different? Absolutely it'll be different. Will it change the way you do your rotations? Absolutely it will. But it's going to, if this does go through, just off the top of the head, I haven't tested it, but this is just my personal opinion. I feel like it's going to open up the game a lot more. I feel like it's going to allow you to play with even more sets, because if you think about it, there's over or close to 400 sets in this game. Or there will be by the time Greymore, well over 400. I want to see more use of sets, you know? Like, there shouldn't only be 10 that are used. It should be, you've got this.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Ultimate plethora of sets. Have fun with it. Use it. How can you utilize it? And, you know, they're talking skill changes with the vampire skill line. I mean, shoot, we don't know what those are yet.
I'm
but
excited.
You know how people are going to be running vamps and probably running vampire builds and probably catering this to those builds? I mean, there's going to be a lot of character-defining things coming to this game. One, mythic items. When it comes to, they talked about them on the, I think it was PAX East, the live stream, you know, those Kiss Curse items. So it's a single item, you know, it gives you a blessing. So like, I forget what Rich said. I'm just going to make one up that, you know, there's a chess piece you can run super fast, but the drawback is, yeah, I don't know, like it's always at half health, half armor, whatever. So it's a Kiss Curse kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have,
I forget what that was. A Kiss Curse. I like that. It's like New Moons. New Moons, the New Moon Acolyte set is a freaking Kiss Curse set.
Oh, absolutely.
It totally
110%.
Is. And the reason being, friends, is because it gives you an incredible amount of magicka, stamina, weapon damage, or spell damage. Like, you get a ton. You get crit. It's just like a dream set. But every one of your skills that you use costs 5% more. That adds up real effing quick. Real quick. So I like that Kiss Curse thing.
Thanks. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have characters that are built primarily off of new skill lines and or adjusted skill lines with Greymoor. You're going to have characters built off mythic items, and on top of that, this change is going to incorporate that. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to leave it to you. DPS change we had. Everyone was freaking out. What did we say on this show? We said when the dust settles, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? People
fine.
Are still hitting like a truck, and everything's fine.
You know what's bad? People are back up to almost exactly where they were before.
People adapt.
Yeah.
And they adjust. That's the best part about an MMO, because it's massive. It's always changing. You know, you got these all these cogs that are turning. And so just, you know, be open to the change. Is it different? Absolutely it's different. But shoot. I mean, DPS changes, man. And people are throwing out 90K DPS. I don't want to hear it.
But
it's all good.
Here's what did happen with that. And I think Zoss knew that that was going to happen. And you know, we're talking now back again about the DPS changes to DPS and changes to sustain and everything that was made a few months back. And everybody did freak out. And like right off the bat, we came up and said, yeah, it's about a 10K difference, right?
Yeah.
And it was about a 10K difference
in your
DPS output. And in a lot of people's cases, much more. But what it did do is when you look that whole patch, all those changes they made, what it did do is it took the range of DPS classes from like this, you know, you had like a 20-30K difference in the top DPS and the bottom level DPS for stay stamina classes or magicka classes. It took that range and it went whoop, it shortened it right down to now. Okay, so the Stamina Nightblade is at the bottom of the list, where the Stamina Necro is at the top of the list. But that difference is only at 10K. So it narrowed that big time. And everybody adapted to it. And even though there's still people that want to play the top DPS classes, there's not that much difference. Like, a Stamina Nightblade is still very viable, even though it's sitting in the bottom slot. You're still putting out a ton of freaking DPS. That's what it did. Now, there is something that, getting back to the light, medium, and heavy attack changes, there is something that I want to read, and this comes from our friend Mission Maniac from the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. And I chatted with him about this yesterday. As a matter of fact, I had a very short conversation with some other content creators that I'll talk about here in just a second. But what Mission Maniac was saying was that it's interesting and will definitely take time to get used to. He did a parse yesterday with light attack weaving, just as you would in live now, and it was about a 12k drop in DPS. And then he continued to say, that's where it starts to get weird. You have to begin to weave medium and heavy attacks. So is it going to be different? Yes, it is certainly going to be different. Now, who I feel for is some of the biggest content creators out there that are making builds. And the reason that I say this is because I had a short conversation about the PTS changes yesterday with Dots, Woller, Zynode, and Allcast. We're all in the same Discord talking about this stuff. And I literally told those guys, like, hey, I really feel bad for you guys, because, like, these are the top echelon players who have, like, they're just great at DPS, they're great at the game. They make videos about this. They post videos of their parses. You know what I mean? There's like Lyco and Skinny Cheeks and some of these other guys out there. They're just putting out some freaking incredible numbers. They are super used to the way they parse and the way that they play in content and the skills of their character. This is asking them, or forcing them, this were to go through, this is forcing them to completely change the way that they play the game. And is it really like a huge deal? Maybe not, because the game changes all the time, but everything that they've done in content creation would mean nothing. Maybe that's too harsh. Everything that they have done in content creation, all the videos that they've created, would be obsolete, because light attack weaving would go away. Does that make sense? I mean, is that being too harsh?
No, I get where you're coming from, but I would also, and I can hear Zynode saying this already, yeah, I'll figure it out.
Right. And that, okay, so that, to finish off my thought, that's where I'm at with this, because this is not going to break the game for me. Once again, we've already said this before, and Jibs just said his piece about it. It's not going to break the game for me for coming back. I'm just going to have to learn to play the way that I play over again. Would I be happy about heavy attacks doing more damage? Hell yes, because I freaking love heavy attacks.
Doesn't that make sense, though?
It makes way more sense. I don't like the fact that they're not going to return resources, but now light attacks are going to return resources. So it's more likely going to be skill, 3 light attacks, skill, 3 light attacks, skill, heavy attack. Or maybe in your execute, when that NPC or whatever you're fighting, when that enemy gets 25% or less, now you're spamming heavy attacks to maximize your damage.
So
it's just changing the way that your rotation is. So for some folks, it's going to be scary. For other folks, it's going to be challenge, which is where I sit. Like, hell yeah. The other thing that I see it doing, Jibs, is I see this making combat look more fluid, as opposed to the, you know, freaking Elaine dance from Seinfeld right now that people are doing. You watch parses. That's what it freaking looks like, man. Like,
I agree.
I'm really getting into my rotation and stuff with my Magwardy, he looks like he's having a seizure, because it's just boom, 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 and looks weird. So as a benefit, I think we're going to get rid of that if we end up going with the stuff. Yeah, it might take you a few weeks to get used to the new thing, but hey, look, suck it up, buttercup. That's the way it works. when a game is constantly in flux and being balanced and being made better. So are they going to lose people over it? Yeah, they probably are going to lose some people over it. But those people who throw tantrums, go play another game. I don't even care. You know?
Look, it's definitely going to change things. And the numbers are not set in stone. And this goes into great detail as far as what every heavy attack is going to give back to you in its current state right now on the PTS, based off whatever weapon you're using. So I would encourage you, and we'll have this linked over at the episode page of LoreSeekersPodcast.com. Go read through it and just kind of get an idea where it's at right now. And I love this because this this is 100% in R&D, and we as players get to experience it. This is not set in stone. This is not in the game. They're not even 100% sure if this is going to make it into the game. But I do look forward to seeing what it's going to do. There was, let's see, let me scroll up here. Ninja614 is sitting here in chat.
What's
and up, says there are parses out there that I'm seeing where people hold down left mouse button for continuous heavy attacks and four buttons with no bar swap hitting 60k in its current state.
Sweet.
So
I'm in simpler,
you know,
rotation. I'm in.
You know, like, look, at the end of the day, though, honestly, and then I'm done, is when if I feel like I'm gonna go out in the real world and swing a weapon.
Oh, God, here we go.
What? Well, first off, it's going to fly out of my hand because I have no idea what I'm doing. But if I were to hit with a light attack, wouldn't you feel like that would do less damage as opposed to a full-on swing? You know, if I was just to do a quick slice through the air with, like, half a swing, equivalent of a light attack in this game, wouldn't that be realistically less damage as opposed to a full swing with full fluidity and motion?
Yes.
Into an opponent?
And it still is. In the game, it still is. It's just cumulatively.
Yeah.
When you're light attack, you're doing many more light attacks than you're doing heavy attacks in your rotation. So cumulatively, they're adding up to be,
right,
you know.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Some of the top, you know, some of the top stats for your overall damage is light attack.
Right.
So, but you're right. And what I like about it is, you know, builds like that, like the Sorcerer heavy attack build, which is great because that splash damage you get at the end of a fully charged lightning staff attack is freaking stupid. Or as Zynode says, it's mental. You know? Because it hits freaking hard as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But the viability for those heavy attack builds is going to be right back. And I think I love the fact that Ninja said that about, you know, about doing heavy attack rotations. I think it would be freaking awesome. Boring.
Hey, man. Adapt and overcome.
Adapt and overcome. That's right. And, you know, and if you're really worried about it, then all you need to remember is just
survive.
It will never get old.
This guy is another dude.
Oh, you want to hear that one too?
Me?
That's my favorite.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Forever. Everybody's gonna get sick of it.
Oh,
what's that
so
even
good
from? I don't even, they're it's playing a, this stuff and I don't even know what it's from.
It's from Tropic Thunder. Go watch it. You have the time.
It's a gym.
We know you're sitting at home. Go watch it.
There you go. Yeah. So anyway, PTS discussion. It's interesting. I look forward to seeing where they're gonna go with it. I do honestly like the direction it's going. It's gonna be interesting. I look forward to watching this.
It's
gonna be good stuff.
It changes.
I know.
It changes.
I know.
When it's time to change, you have to rearrange.
Oh my gosh. Can you just do the spell?
I can flip you off.
Ugh.
Ooh, turns out flipping you off does a little spell.
That's perfectly appropriate for you. I just want to lay that out there.
Time for my lore lesson.
Shut up. It's my lore lesson. I'm reading it.
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Friends, tonight we're on Lore Lesson 96. We are creeping up to that Lore Lesson 100. But tonight we're talking the Mother of Nords. Why? Because all things Skyrim are happening now. And we need all of our folks to be educated before you dive into the new content. So let me enlighten you with a reading about the Mother of Men. Quote, "Mother of men who steals us with her icy breath, warrior wife who sanctifies every axe edge, goddess of the storm who gifted us with the voice. Bless us, kine, and may we serve you with every word." It's deep. Who is kine? Well, she's the Nordic goddess of the storm. She's the warrior wife and the most favored god of the warriors in the north. Kine, also known as Khan in the dragon's tongue, is the widow of Shor in Nordic legend, who is known as the Nord's version of Lorcan. And Lorcan, as he is known across the entirety of Tamriel, is the missing god, the spirit of Nirn and the god of all mortals. And here's your first fun fact. Khan in the dragon's tongue is actually a word of power, which can be used to soothe wild beasts, such as my co-host. Easy, little guy. Easy.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh, you're such a dork. I love you. All right. As the goddess of the storm, Kine is revered as the controller of the wind and the rain. Now, the Nords believe that Kine had a part in their creation as the sky exhaled onto the land at the throat of the world. Kine is also known as the kiss at the end, as she is believed to be the entity that leads them into their version of our modern heaven, but for them, Sovngarde. Here's a little fun fact. Sovngarde is the place that Nords believe they are sent upon their death. It's a part of Aetherius, and it's ruled by Shor, their version of the trickster god Lorcan, and it is adorned with the Hall of Valor, a gigantic feasting hall where mead flows like a waterfall.
Oh, go. Sounds like a really fun place. Do they have COVID-19? Because if it's not there, then I want to go.
Can I breathe there?
All right. So as most Nords refer to themselves as the sons and daughter of Kine, many have different interpretations of her place amongst other notable deities. Some believe Kine is the pinnacle of the Nordic pantheon of the divines, and they dismiss Mara as the mother goddess of the empire. They consider Mara being Kine's handmaiden. Kind of a bold one right there. Mara's kind of a big deal. Now, other Nordic followers of the Nine Divines, this is much later in our timeline, they hold that Kine and Kinnereth are one and the same, where other believers of the old ways hold that Kinnereth is merely a pale shadow of Kine. So as the strongest of the sky spirits, the rain that falls from the sky is said to be the tears of Kine herself as she mourns the loss of her beloved Shor. Now, rain was known to have not appeared until after Shor, also known as Lorcan, lost his divine spark. And we've told that story in a previous lore lesson. Now, Kine is also known as a source of power that provided the gift of the Thum, or the voice, to the race of man. This was thought to have been done to provide men with a source of power to save themselves from the wrath of Alduin and his dragons. Alternatively, some legends hold that it was actually Kine's daughters who gifted the voice to the earliest of Nords. Now, legend also holds that many Nordic historical figures were blessed with the tongue of Kine, providing them with a powerful weapon in the dragon's voice. The sons of Kine, also known as the Breath of Kine, were titles anointed to two very famous Nordic legends, the first being Wolfharth and the next being Morahaus. We're going to talk about each of them. High King Wolfharth was also known as the Storm of Kine, and he was an Atmorn-born High King during the ancient times of Skyrim. High King Wolfharth was staunchly against Alessian rule, and his actions thrust Skyrim into the reinstatement of the traditional Nordic pantheon in the first era. Wolfarth would also lead the invasion of Rezidane, which is now Morrowind, and would lead the troops at the Battle of the Red Mountain. Now, he also lost his life here, but he was brought back to life, which we're not going to cover, several times over the course of his life. Now, the second one is Morhaus. Morhaus is a winged man bull. God, that sounds awesome. He's also known as the Breath of Kine, and he was a demigod and one of the earliest cultural heroes of the Nords. Now, he was said to be the finest archer of the first era. Bullcrap, it was a Bosmer. And that he was the reason for man's capture of the White Gold Tower in Cyrodiil, which gave the humans control over the Nibenay Valley. It's also said that Morhaus was blessed with the Thum from Kinnereth herself. Morhaus was a consort of St. Alessia and a very close friend to Pelennor Whitestrake, the legendary immortal hero, who we covered not too long ago. Now, ancient legends told throughout history speak of Kine's influence and intervention in Tamriel at very pivotal moments. For example, it was suggested that Kine herself was involved in granting the Amulet of Kings to St. Alessia, ensuring a pure legacy to all future rulers of Cyrodiil. Fun fact. The ancient Nords worshipped the hawk and associate the keen animal with their goddess of Kine. Because of that, the Nords are known to use stylized motifs of the bird in architecture, crafts, and clothing. So here's a little reading from some in-game lore books, which I thought were very interesting. The first one is from the goddess of the storm, the mother of Nords. And it reads, Kine, one of the eight divines of the Nord pantheon, is considered by some to lead those divines. She is one of the hearth gods, watching over the present cycle of the world. Her titles are numerous, revealing much about the character of Kine. Kine is called the Kiss at the End, for most Nords agree that Kine leads the dead to Sovngarde. She is revered as the goddess of storm, called upon to bring rain and snow in dry times. She protects her faithful from raging gales and blizzards that regularly sweep across the Skyrim expanse. Other names applied to Kine include the Widow of Shore and the Mother of Nords. Warriors favor Kine as they call upon for her strength in battle and victory in conflict. I will close with one called Kine's Tears, which is an ode to Kine's tears. Dark clouds gather in the sky above. Kine weeps for joy at the beauty of the world. Tears warm the ground and blossoms grow. The sacred stone reveals the flowers of her tears.
Oh, Skyrim!
Yes, you can bet that the new chapter is going to be adorned with lots of Kine lore.
Oh, I hope so. Yep. That's, you know, it's, I'm really glad you chose Kine, because she is the basis of so many things for Nords.
Right.
And she's like the heartbeat to a Nord, and in a lot of ways. And so it's just fitting, you know, setting the basis as we go into Skyrim and really venture out and just take all this lore in. So, well done.
Are you getting teary?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
No, I'm fine.
All right.
I cry in the morning.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fitting, you know. Some guys are morning, evening, night guys. I don't know. Anyway, that was good. You did a good job.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Well, friends, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. This was Elder Scrolls Online. Wow. This was Lore Seekers.
We talked about Elder Scrolls Online, but it ain't Elder Scrolls Online.
I'm okay. I'll never break character till the DVD release. Anyway, we hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks so much for listening, hanging out with us, and we hope you'll take a few seconds to go leave us a review on whatever platform you are using. It doesn't matter, whatever it is, Stitcher, iTunes, gosh, there's a million of them out there. But anyway, we're there. Wherever content is free, podcasts are free, we are there. We don't charge for our content. So if you would, take a moment, leave a review, tell us how we're doing. For every 5-star review that we get here on iTunes, we show you some love with a shout out here live on the show. We'll read your review. So by the way, speaking of shout out, special shout out to our PvP lead, Ardeath, who is now putting his awesome PvP builds. I can say that because I've watched them in action, and they are ruthless and a lot of cases OP.
Oh, yeah.
He's now releasing his own build videos. We've been retweeting them over at Lore Seekers Cast on Twitter, so go check out his stuff on YouTube. It's really, really good. You can call us 765-382-6961, or you can email us, loreseekerspodcast@gmail.com. You can also mail us P.O. Box 3665, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47803. For even more Lore Seeker content, visit loreseekerspodcast.com. Now, if you're wanting to be a part of the Lore Seeker community, we are everywhere. We are global. You got people all over the globe in Lore Seekers. If you want to come meet people, have good relationships, just good times, it's a safe haven. LoreSeekersPodcast.com/guild. Download the Discord server, join our Discord, and apply by typing /apply. We got asked this question the other day. Is this only for guild members? No. No, you don't have to play Elder Scrolls Online. If you're a fan of Elder Scrolls, come, be a part, join. We want to meet you. We want to talk with you. There's so many channels that you can partake of. It's ridiculous. Special thanks to Family Jewels and Sword Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the intro and ambience. And Cash, where can they find us on social media?
You can find Jibs on Twitter at JibsIRL. You can find myself on Twitter, LoreSeekerCash, and the Cash is with a K. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter. We are at LoreSeekersCast, on Instagram at LoreSeekers, on YouTube at Lore Seekers, and on Twitch right here, twitch.tv/LoreSeekersPodcast.
There you go. Friends, we hope you have a great week in gaming. Stay safe, be awesome, and throw some pie at people this week, would you?
Except for me.
Especially him.
Don't you dare.
I only aim for you. Oh, that sounded...
I only have eyes for you! That's gross. Cue the vomit. Thanks.